This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Woohoo! And it's Friday. Welcome, folks, to Newsmakers. This is the place to be for your local talk. Thanks for joining us. What a beautiful day to live in the Mid-Willamette Valley,
huh? It's gorgeous.
All right, we got some things to talk about. You get the national scope on the hours before us. You get the national look on the hours after us. But here at the noon hour on KYKN, this is the place to get the local happenings in Salem and Kaiser and Marion and Polk County. One of those big happenings is some potential news, not certainties, but about the Salem Kaiser volcanoes. And we're going to have a guest in. We're going to have the owner of the volcanoes in before the hour's out. So stay tuned for that. So protesters crack me up, Dave.
I know, right?
I'm reminded of a story, and protesters are in the news because of people sitting around in the governor's office and the office that she doesn't use or anything. But we're going to talk about that, but I got to tell a story since it's Friday.
Protest.
It's fun Friday. So in Berkeley, as you know, I went to UC Berkeley. Actually, I just posted something very snide about some protesters in UC Berkeley. They wanted to shout down Ann Coulter, and they were trying to prevent people from seeing her speak there.
Oh, my goodness.
And previously, she had been had to cancel, and there were concerns about security and this and that, but she did have a speaking engagement. UC Republicans were sponsoring it and this and that, but they, you know who shows up? Demonstrators and masks.
What?
Masks, people. All right. I mean, I'm sorry. If you feel as though you are the righteous one, if you are, you're fighting for the right and you believe in the truth, why are you hiding your face?
Right.
Right. And this is Antifa. And I just had a liberal friend of mine on social media said, I'm a liberal, but Antifa are terrorists.
And they're
are not liberals. And I'm like, yeah. So you got people in masks at UC Berkeley, one of the birthplace moments of the free speech moment of the free speech movement in the 60s. It's embarrassing for UC Berkeley to say we're only going to tolerate liberalism here. That's embarrassing. It's too bad. That's my alma mater, folks. When I was there, they were very tolerant of everything. And I described it. It wasn't liberal like the 60s free speech, free love, anti-war kind of 60s, you know, it was still very popular, or it had become popular again to be a member of the business school, very establishment, right? Not anti-establishment.
Yeah.
The law school, very establishment. The marching band, the Greek system, those were all, you know, still pretty popular. So I described it as a place that's tolerant of all voices. There's wackadoodles in the street.
Always.
That used to be professors. And there's, you know, there's arts and there's business and there's conservatism. It was all over the spectrum, which was pretty awesome, actually. Now, they want to destroy that spectrum.
So she was invited by the conservative?
Some
conservative group there?
Campus Republicans or University of California Republicans.
Should I call her and get her reaction?
Ann Coulter? Yeah, why don't you give her a call?
I do have her number.
Oh, well, very nice. Wow. Yeah.
She's a friend.
That is awesome. Yeah. I wonder how the speech went, really. But anyway,
if she did it?
The guy was, she did do it. I want to know how it went.
Yeah,
and
I do
how
too.
It was received. She had to be escorted in by campus police and people who had tickets. They were blocking the way. They were trying to prevent people from coming to the speech. It had signs like, don't let them in. They're chanting, don't let them in. And one guy's holding a sign, if you find it, and I don't remember which news feed was carrying it, but one student's holding a sign that said that UCB is a sanctuary. Well, apparently it's not a sanctuary for free speech.
Apparently.
Wow.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, back home, folks. That's my story. Oh, wait, I didn't finish my story.
No, you didn't.
Babbling and babbling. It is funny, though, because at Berkeley, they have a memorial stadium. And it was built right after World War One, so it's 100 years old. And it needed refurbishing and seismic upgrades, et cetera. There's a fault line that literally goes straight through this stadium. And a bunch of campus upgrades. And there were some trees that needed to come down to expand you know, the student student athlete center and the workout rooms, press, everything, all of the expansion. Trees had to come down. It was a grove of eucalyptus trees.
Oh, boy.
The protesters lived in these trees for months and months. I don't know, maybe carried on a couple of years or something. The protesting that these trees were going to come down and suing the university. And here's, there's so many things wrong with that. There's so many. Let me tell you what's wrong with it, folks. One, they're eucalyptus trees. They're not even native trees to the area. They're an invasive species, but you want to protect them. Two, they were planted at, they were planted as landscaping for the stadium.
Right.
It's not like this is an old growth forest somewhere. Mm. This is the landscaping of the stadium. So three, they're not your trees. Right? Four, the university promised it, to plant, I think it was, I don't know, a multiple of trees. I'm not going to get the number right, but a large multiple of trees for everyone that came down. They're going to plant more trees elsewhere.
Probably three.
They still lived in these trees. These people are crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's like those guys that trying to block the oil tankers in Portland. They're hanging on nylon ropes in plastic kayaks from the bridge, blocking the oil tanker.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm like, you guys would not have these supplies if it was not for oil.
I don't know why they tolerated these people living in these trees anyway.
Right.
And don't you have something else to do in life? I mean, really? It's a eucalyptus tree.
Did any of them have jobs?
Apparently not.
Apparently.
Or, no, they're all coders doing up there on batteries and Wi-Fi. I don't know what they were doing. But, so now we have demonstrators. So some demonstrations, I'm all for a demonstration. I mean, a counter demonstration. I suppose I'd hold a sign somewhere, and if the cause was right.
Right.
I haven't ever done it.
Like Timber Unity.
I'm usually going to work.
Yeah. Well, like Timber Unity, I mean, they took time off of their work and for a cause that they believed in, held signs, made their presence known, right?
Mm-hmm.
Aired their grievances, but they didn't shout anybody down. They didn't wear masks.
They didn't call names.
And they didn't scream at anybody and call anybody names. And they were done when their point got across. They didn't stay in the tree or, you know.
For months and months.
For
and
months.
And going on and on.
My goodness.
All right. So now there's protesters in the governor's ceremonial office. I believe so.
What?
Yeah. So actually, you're going to spoil the end.
Oh, sorry.
Spoil the end of the story. Because at the end of the story, one of the protesters says, "We're going to be here till the governor stops this." I'm like, okay, have a nice life.
What are they asking for?
They want the governor to somehow put a halt to a natural gas pipeline that is.
Free enterprise?
It's going to go through Coos Bay. And it actually goes from the Klamath Basin to Coos Bay in a natural gas pipeline.
You so mean something that they have a permit to do?
Well, they don't yet.
Oh.
They don't yet. And honestly, it was unclear from the article whether or not the governor can even has a say in it, since it's probably a federal. I know there's a federal process in the permitting process.
Sure.
And, of course, the environmental impact statement that took us, that we spent 10 years on for our third bridge and so forth. So it's a liquefied natural gas facility. It's near Coos Bay. It's an area called Jordan Cove. And they're not happy because she's playing politics and not shutting something down. And basically, in my language, it looks like they're accusing her of lip service. One quote is, "She's done what she's continued to do, and that's not answer the question and divert. The best possible outcome is that Governor Brown takes a stand, denies the project, and makes sure her agencies enforce her decision to stand up for the citizens of Oregon." And by citizens of Oregon, they mean their point of view. They don't mean the citizens of Oregon who would be employed by this.
Right. Coos Bay needs help.
Might have this you know, was some a economic
this,
development.
Yeah, this was a timber community that took a huge hit.
Yeah. So
huge.
They just decided to spur of the moment, according to Grace Werner of Southern Oregon Rising Tide. So there's state troopers there. They're watching 100 protesters. A lot of them come up from Southern Oregon. No LNG, liquefied natural gas. They live in this fantasy world where we can tomorrow not have any fossil fuels and we're all going to be just fine. We're all going to live, but we're all just going to be just fine in their twisted view of
how
the world goes.
How did they get here? In a car.
They rode their bikes. Come on.
In a car.
And an electric car, probably.
Okay.
All right. The governor says, I've been very upfront with Oregonians on all sides of this issue, and there needs to be a process that is fair and that everyone has the opportunity to be heard. Amen. That's code for we have to listen to the other side, too. I'm overseeing another quote from Governor Brown. I'm overseeing that process to make sure statutes are followed and Oregon's regulatory process is complied with.
Nothing wrong with that. Well, wrong with listening to them. But the way that they go about their protests.
Spoken like a true politician, one protester said.
Wow.
Yeah. So she's not even in town. She's in Europe.
But she did speak to them on speakerphone.
She did call them on the phone and this and that.
Hey, thanks for voicing your opinion.
She didn't commit to them. I'm shutting this down when I get back.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. We're going to have to take a break. But I'm just trying to picture a world where tomorrow there are no fossil fuels. And how many of us live with natural gas pipelines all over and people don't even know about it?
That's right.
There's new one. This can't exist, right?
Right.
The new, we can't have one more. And somehow the Earth's going to be devastated if we connect liquefied natural gas.
But see, liquefied natural gas would help cut down on the fossil fuel of oil.
It is a fossil fuel, though.
But it's a natural one.
Mm-hmm. So is oil.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. All right, Dave's wearing his yellow and green today.
The light bulb
coming
went off.
Up under the weekend. Hey, stick with us. This is Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Morn on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem. And this afternoon's pizza, as given to us by JC's Pizzeria.
Meat lovers.
And man, I got to tell you, this is actually pretty good today.
Thank you, everyone, for joining
Tasty.
Us.
Tasty.
This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and we were talking about the protesters in the governor's office protesting the proposed liquefied natural gas pipeline in Southern Oregon. And
so they're just sitting there in an office she doesn't use.
A ceremonial office, yeah.
Yeah. And so... People are bringing them food.
I don't know.
They're using the restrooms in the building. They're being babysat by the Oregon State Troopers.
At least it's peaceful and they're not wearing masks. And they're speaking to the media and they're applying their case. I don't agree with them, but more power to you if you want to plead your case. The disconnect for me is when they say, the governor should do this for all Oregonians. Well, there's some Oregonians that don't hate fossil fuels and liquefied natural gas.
Most of
and
us.
Don't hate infrastructure like you do.
Right.
This is not an issue that can get behind. And they have a valid point as well. You can say, we don't want it in our district. We don't want it in our county. It's not good for our community. But don't say, hey, fuel infrastructure, fuel transportation infrastructure or transmission or whatever you want to call it, is bad for Oregon.
Right.
And what I alluded to earlier is the guy, what's his name, Joseph, says, we're going to be here until Kate Brown makes a decision. Well, he could be in for a long holiday season.
He could be. And she's not back in the office till January, I think, right?
Really notable. protester Bill Bradbury came down, and he was one of the protesters on Thursday. He came down and lent his name and face. He was Secretary of State. For, gosh, almost 10 years.
Yeah, long time.
1999 to 2009. So he's got an issue with it, too. And that's, what we're talking about here. We're not going to be able to get deep enough into what are the particulars. But just discussing the manner in which they're trying to affect public policy and some of the quotes. And then it's going to be, this is all tied to what the Senate wanted to do or what the legislature wanted to do with cap and trade. Right? Or tax and swindle,
right.
As Sam Brentano would say. The tax and swindle people, and it did not get done. And these are the same kind of people that have a mindset that we need to eliminate all uses of fossil fuels right now as fast as possible.
Not possible.
It's not.
Our economy runs on it, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I mean, so, that. Think about all the trucks that are on the road with diesel. All the cars with regular gas. Tractors.
If you bought it, a truck brought it.
Right.
If you bought it, a truck brought
it. And you use it, most of the time, it's gas.
So this is there's a Canadian pipeline company proposing to put this in. It's called Pembina. It says they would create 6,000 construction jobs, albeit that's probably temporary, but 8,500 spinoff jobs in industries like healthcare and so forth. So, and the Governor Brown, she seems like she's walking the fence, and she wants to make sure everyone's heard on both sides, and she wants to make sure that the process is fair and legal and everything is followed through and so forth. But anyway, they're not happy about that. They
right.
wanted to shut it down. They wanted to jump on this and go to the far left end, if you ask me, in terms of public policy, public policy, and it has to do with the energy sector.
Yeah, get rid of it right now.
But thanks for not having Antifa there. Yeah, I appreciate right. that. Thanks for not wearing the masks like they were in Berkeley.
Ridiculous.
Later in the hour, Dave, I'll tell you another crazy story from the blue and gold. Right now, we want to welcome to the studio our guest. I've invited him in today. He's all over the news because all over the news, especially in the sports world, is Major League Baseball and their proposal and plans to perhaps shrink the size of their minor leagues and their network. And save some money that way. And how would that affect our own local franchise of the San Francisco 49ers? Oh, 49ers. Wrong season, Brent.
Right.
San Francisco Giants.
That would be football.
And the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes. So I invited Jerry Walker in. The Walkers. Both the Walkers are here.
Both the Walkers.
All right.
He brings
I'm
reinforcements.
Sure Jerry's been making the circuit. I know there's a petition. And Jerry, welcome to the studio.
Hey, thanks, Brent. It's good to be here.
Thanks for coming in on short notice.
Yeah, well, it's been a busy day.
It is the buzz, all over the buzz. Now, let's get something straight. You haven't been told that they want to shutter the relationship, right?
Well, actually, I haven't heard a word from the San Francisco Giants.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
or Major League Baseball?
Or Major League Baseball. So, I mean, I get my news about the same way you do, which is making this thing is pretty confusing for us.
I bet.
So, but it was announced that they wanted to eliminate, what, 40 teams?
42 teams across the country.
Wow.
That's
huge.
A lot of communities like Salem and Kaiser that have professional baseball that would be in position to lose it after having made great investments.
Huge investments by cities, municipalities, states, counties, personal people, you know, that have financed them personally. I mean, it's huge. Yeah.
So what kind of, 42, let's go back to the numbers. 42 out of how many are in the entire network?
There's 160, so it's a little over 25% of the teams would be gone.
And there's also some proposals to restructure even which divisions and levels there are, right?
That's correct, yeah. I mean, every league in the National Association would be affected in some way. I mean, I can give you an example where there's one team that's a triple-A team. They're going to move them down to a single-A level. We have a short season A club that's the same classification that the Volcanoes are. They're going to move them up to a double-A level. They're just kind of, based on what the geography is of where the teams are, they're going to redo all the leagues. I mean, that's their plan.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. And so is there some talk of consolidating geographically to lower?
That's all part of it. See, they want to reduce the travel is what they said, which is what's really perplexing for us because we have the best travel of any team in the Northwest League. We have a 45 to 50 minute commute up north, and we have about an hour, 10 minutes down south to Eugene. We have by far the least miles traveled of any team in the Northwest League. So if they want to reduce travel, you've got to have Volcano Stadium.
Yeah.
You've got to have it.
Where are you going to go?
That totally makes sense.
We're right smack in the middle.
Right?
Yeah, what really is dumbfounding here is there has been no justification. It's totally arbitrary. I mean, we have no idea. I mean, maybe they don't like white males over 60. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. No one's told me. Our facility is one of the best in the league. It was built in 1997. There's only two stadiums that are newer. It was built to minor league / major league baseball standards when it was built. They had to approve the plans. We've been inspected since it was built many times. We're in compliance. It's not the facility. It's not the travel. So I think it's white men over 60.
Is that it? It's discrimination.
It must be. It must be.
Well, have you had whispers then that, hey, you might be on this list, Jerry? You know, is there an actual list, and are people leaking it, or is it just speculation?
Well, there is a list. I've never seen it.
Okay.
But I assume the New York Times, who did see it and was the first one to, quote, leak it, leaked it properly. But I've not seen it through minor league baseball. I've not seen it, like I said, through Major League Baseball or the San Francisco Giants. I'm saying we're not on the list. I believe we're on the list. I've seen it in print many times. So I don't think they're making it up.
Oh, you have seen the list.
I haven't seen a list. Oh. I mean, I have not seen a physical list. I've seen things on the internet that says the Salem-Keizer Volcanoes is on the list.
Okay. Yeah. And do you reach out to your affiliations and they're not talking?
Well, minor league baseball is really handling everything. And so it's a kind of a hands-off approach because, you know, you've got 160 teams involved and many of them are affected. And they're trying to centralize one voice. And so we're not getting too many different stories going and things like that. I mean, they had a negotiating session yesterday in Dallas, and we haven't been briefed yet on what became of that negotiating session with Major League Baseball. So it's ongoing. It's very fluid.
We're talking to Jerry Walker of the Salem-Keizer Volcanoes. We're going to take a break and come back in a minute about fears that say we could lose our affiliation with minor league baseball here in the Mid-Valley.
Over my dead body, okay?
Dead body.
Let me throw that in.
Well, you know, Jerry, we're going to have to pay salaries for Bryce Harper and pay salaries for, you know, Verlander and all these things. So might as well cut a bunch of smaller communities and players that don't make very, very much money.
Right.
And with that snide comment, we're going to take a break. This is Brent DeHart, and I'm here with Dave Bourne. Stick with us. We'll be right back with Jerry Walker on 1430 KYKN. Salem and Keizer are listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart. Welcome to our Friday edition before we're catapulting headlong into our fabulous weekend.
Fab.
I'm here with Dave Bourne in the studio, Jerry and Lisa Walker. During the break, we swapped microphones. We're bringing in Jerry's better half, Lisa, to talk, and she's hitting all the talking points. And Lisa, there's a lot of things about minor league baseball that most people just don't really understand. You know, if you're not in the industry, we don't get how the relationship works. We don't get how who can command what investments out of whom and things like that. Obviously, a great investment was made in the stadium and continues to have been made over so many years, right?
Correct.
And some of those things were acquired by Major League Baseball.
Yes.
But now they have the right potential. They have the right to say we're not gonna have a franchise there anymore.
Yeah. The struggle is this is a 120-year relationship, and it's a given that we're going to have another agreement with Major League Baseball. But every 10 years, there's a lot of posturing and, you know, pushing to pushing of the minor leagues by Major League Baseball to get a little bit more. And sometimes it's a lot a bit more. And this by every stretch is the most dumbfounded, proposal that we've ever experienced. So we're all kind of moving around hoping, you know, that this isn't real. That this is just them, again, 10 years later, posturing for a little more money, a little more this, a little more that.
Well, maybe they're taking the negotiation tactics from President Trump, right? Let's get everybody completely riled up and
exactly.
See what we can get out of them. When you say we're going to have a contract, you don't mean the Salem-Keizer Volcanoes. You mean minor league baseball.
Minor league baseball, regardless, our hope is that the 160 teams will stay intact. But there's been so much discussion that is, again, random, that we really don't know where it's going to end up. And we think that every voice out there that can possibly speak up to what, minor league baseball means to this country is very important, very important. And like so many other people, we're all so busy that, oh, someone else will get to that. But no, everyone has to, they have to speak up. And they have to do it either with their you know, the mayor, I know that, the, you know, Kathy Clark has heard from quite a few local people, fans. We need to talk to our, you know, our congressmen and our senators. And
Kurt Schrader's been out speaking out in favor,
yes,
right?
Yes, he has. And you know, and nothing should stop us from reaching out to Major League Baseball, to Major League Baseball and to the San Francisco Giants saying, you know, this isn't right. This is bizarre.
So the stadium and the tickets that we pay when we go in to see the game, that helps support the Volcanoes organization, right?
Correct. But Major League Baseball gets a percentage of everything.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. So yes. If you drew twice as many fans, they would have more cash flow coming out of this.
Absolutely. But there's a lot of, if people really dug deep, and, you know, I won't go into it, but if people really dug deep, they'd really learn the business of baseball. And sometimes there are some, you know, that's what we love about the minor leagues, because we are in the backyards of the people who want that intimate contact with, you know, with the business, with the players. They, you know, they don't care about the business part. They want to just be able to be close to the players. And that's what we try to bring. You don't necessarily get that on the major league level. And so, you know, the business of baseball there is quite different. And really, it's not really fuzzy, warm and fuzzy at all.
Right.
At times.
Well, this is where you can see the up and comers.
Right.
And eventually, you know, 15 of the San Francisco Giants came from here, right?
Right.
I mean,
there's a lot more than that.
Well,
we have about
110
or 11. We have 110 or 11 players that have come through our little old city of Kaiser that have played at the major league level.
Yeah.
You know, we did a segment yesterday about people who can't get out of their own way.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is like a Major League Baseball thing. They're suffering a little bit from attendance themselves and from television ratings, and they're not rejuvenating themselves or the game. And so what are you going to do? You're going to cause a controversy that reverberates in Main Street, and not well.
Yeah, and I said earlier, you know, this is very reminiscent of the 94 player strike.
Mm-hmm.
And people got the most sour taste in their mouth about baseball, professional baseball, that it really played out in, you know, in the following year's attendance. So, you know, what we want to do is say, you know, as long as we have another day to fight, and as long as we have a 2020 season, that, you know, we could make a really great season. And regardless, I mean, we don't say, I'm the type of person, I go to the brick wall and try to chew out the mortar before I give up. And so, you know, we believe that we have a very strong minor league, you know, entity presence, you know, at the top. They're going to fight this. And of course, it's 25% reduction in their members, you know, in their teams. And so it's very bizarre, but so are a lot of things. And
so Jerry was talking before we went to break about the rationale, not just why do you want to cut it by 25%, but who do you determine is going to get cut? Is that geographic? Is it attendance? Is it team affiliation? How are they deciding who should get cut?
Well, and that's what makes it so random, because every single thing that they mentioned, that the reasons why they were cutting, I really get myself excited when they talk about player comfort and safety. Yeah, that's their big, you know, catchwords that they're saying. Well, we really need to improve our facilities for player comfort and safety. Well, if they paid their players enough money, their players would go anywhere. But there's the rub. People need to do their own homework, because there's so much more to this than just axing the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes. There is so much more to this. And I believe that not all of the major league teams even really know what's going on. I believe that our ownership group doesn't, they don't all know that this was the decision that was made completely. So it's a Nancy Drew good one.
On the reporting that we've heard so far, are there other teams in the Northwest League who would also be potentially lose their franchise?
The Tri-City Dust Devils.
Okay. And they're a little bit more remote than
they are, but they're just everyone is just as perplexed. And they also have they've proposed so many things, like making the Northwest League a long season league rather than short season. They want to eliminate all their short seasons. So there's a lot of interesting stuff that people, if you just went in and dove into it and did your homework, you'd come out wondering.
We're talking to Lisa Walker and her husband Jerry, owners of the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes, about reports that Major League Baseball wants to cut their minor league divisions by 25%. And you said earlier that this could be a negotiating tactic. They want to just squeeze the minor leagues for more and more, right? Because I know, you know, you make about $1 billion a year, right?
Oh, isn't
Or is it $1.5 billion?
Yeah, there you go.
The small minor leagues in communities all over the nation. So if you're a listener to Newsmakers, you know that I'm a baseball fan and love having the Volcanoes here. And here's the thing, and talk about I'm going to echo what you said about their fans and alienating them. Mm-hmm. Minor leagues create fans.
Yeah.
How many people saw the Volcanoes play and later flew to San Francisco to see Buster Posey play?
Right.
How many people were kids, right, when you can just pick it, right? Some of the players made it through. How many kids all over the nation in markets that don't have major league teams learn to be baseball fans at the local ballpark? How do you not figure out that that is your next generation of ticket buyers and television viewers?
Exactly.
If I'm Major League Baseball, I'm going to invest hundreds of millions in Little League and facilities and making it fun and safe. And I'm going to spend hundreds of millions in the minors because that's where the fans are coming from.
And some of the people that go through. That's where the players come from, too.
And the coaches. I mean, all the Volcanoes that have come through that don't make it to the majors, they end up, you know, some of them will leave baseball, and some of them will be pitching coaches or head coaches and so forth. It's a huge economic market segment.
The most unfortunate thing is that, and this is hard on me because I'm a relationship person and I don't cotton to the, you know, David and Goliath stuff. They've Major League Baseball, and this is the same with you know, pro sports in general. They separate themselves from the very people that feed them, and they establish this greater, you know, they're up here, we're down here, we're serving them. And it's most unfortunate because when the player development contract originally came out, it was truly about forming players. But everything we're hearing about the analytics of the game, it's become so refined that they don't need that many players anymore. Mm. They can use their analytics to look at a player and decide whether they're going to make it or not.
Wow.
I would totally encourage anyone who, especially if they're interested in the love of the game and how the game has come, you know, where it started and where it is now. And you're going to learn an awful lot about how easy it is for them at this point in their mind to just be done with 1,200 players, because that's what they're saying.
Wow.
I could kind of see that. But again, you know, they're going to have, I would encourage them to have new lenses to look through this, and that you're not just developing players, but you're developing fans, the people who are buying MLB gear. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, my kids grew up going to Volcano Stadium and they learned to keep score there. And they learned the game there to a point where they could love it. A passive watcher doesn't love it as much as someone who really dives into it. And I don't know. It's these small stadiums and smaller communities like San Luis, as much as we love it, it's not, you know, Seattle.
Correct.
Right.
And that could be good.
Yes, indeed. And this is, I don't know, I think this is where they grow up, their fans. What would you like people to do? I think I saw on Facebook an online petition, right? Contact. Mm-hmm. Do we need to contact our mayor or our state representative?
Well, all of the above.
Okay.
I mean, all of the above. But I would passionately encourage people to come out and buy packages. We've got a great 2020 package that's just awesome. If you were a season ticket, you know, holder before, and you want to bring your grandchildren back, come back and get a season ticket or a half season ticket. You know, filling up the stadium says a lot more than writing a letter to your, you know, to your congressperson or your mayor or whomever. But all of the above works as well, because one of the things that Jerry and I, you know, have been able to do, and we feel very blessed, is that we've been able to stick it out and you know, soldier on and give back as much as we can give back. And sometimes, you know, we want to give back more, and we've got some terrific programs on how to, for nonprofits, how to, you know, retain 50% of ticket sales. It's just, there's so much more that we have to offer that people, you know, might have forgotten because, you know, we've been here 25 years and, you know, the expectation is that we're always going to be here. But Major League Baseball just gave us notice that might not be the case.
Hmm. And you've been listening to Lisa Walker. She and her husband, Jerry, popped in to visit us on Newsmakers, given to the news of the Salem-Keizer volcanoes. Thanks for being here.
Of course.
It won't be the last time we talk about this.
Nope.
But in the meantime, try to have a great weekend and
Absolutely.
A great holiday. And I'm sure you can find your season ticket packages. You can buy them online. You can buy it for Christmas presents for
Absolutely.
Your family members.
And happy
in the
Thanksgiving
area.
To you, too.
And
All right.
To you.
Going to take a quick break. Come back. We'll finish up and get ready for the weekend. I promised another blue and gold story, so stick with us with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks.
We were just chatting about how good the JC's pizza was today. You know?
And a Salem-Keizer volcanoes. Wow, a couple things to wrap that up. Then I've got a couple stories for you.
Okay.
SaveOurVolcanoes.com. SaveOurVolcanoes.com. Volcanoes does have an E, E-S. It's like
yes.
potatoes and tomatoes, right?
Right.
For you Dan Quayle fans. SaveOurVolcanoes.com. Go to that to sign up online petition to save. Say, hey, we want this in our community. And keep in mind, folks, we're not talking about next season coming up. 2020 is solid. It's part of the existing contract, the current
contract.
Yeah,
so if you already have season tickets or you've bought tickets for next year, you're good. You're golden.
So don't cancel any plans.
They'll be right here on KYKN next year as well.
In addition to the petition, and probably more meaningful, as Lisa Walker was saying, is, hey, let's all sign up to buy some tickets. And the more tickets we buy, the less... the Major League Baseball will look at them as something that, hey, maybe this is one of the ones that
because if it's attendance that they're looking at, make sure that we fill the seats.
Mm-hmm.
So then they go, oh, well, they have a full stadium.
It builds on itself. That's more money for the local franchise that they can put into the facility,
right?
And into the product of entertainment.
And MLB makes more money, too.
And MLB makes more money, right? Mm-hmm. And the players are happy, and it's all good stuff. So, quick story, my father, actually, he was in Las Vegas. It was years and years ago. And it was after it started in America, the proliferation of Indian casinos, right?
Okay.
And so he was talking to a cab driver.
Oh, boy.
And he says, hey, are your business kind of hurt? Is Las Vegas suffering, you know, a little bit? Because now people can gamble close to home. They don't have to come to Nevada or Atlantic City, right? They don't have to travel to Nevada. They don't have to go to Las Vegas because they can gamble closer to home, right?
Good question.
Yeah. Cab driver, to his surprise, to my dad's surprise, said, no, are you kidding? This is the mecca for gambling. The casinos are creating gamblers.
Right.
All over the nation, these Indian casinos, legalized, they're creating gamblers. And what is a real gambler? What's the mecca? Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, yeah. Or the other one.
Atlantic City.
Atlantic City, yeah.
So that's my point with these minor league ball clubs. It's like you learn to be a fan. You learn to be affiliated with the Giants, the Mariners, the Cardinals, whomever it is. And you learn the game and... You're learning the fans. You're learning to be fans, and you are the consumer of the future in communities all over the nation that don't have MLB ballparks.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, wake up. You need fans that are outside just San Francisco, Seattle, LA, and so forth. Anyway, all right, we got a couple minutes here. Two quick things. My other blue and gold story, coming out of UC Berkeley, there was a place called People's Park there. It was the site of some free speech movements and this and that. It was never improved. It was basically a dirt lot. There was nothing special about this place back in the day. And people would park there. It was in an unimproved park in the middle of Berkeley, right?
Wow.
And at one time, you know, the city, I think the city, along with the university, plan to have to improve it. They're going to put sand volleyball courts in there. They're going to put swing sets or, you know, play equipment and really doll this thing up.
Make it a park.
They rioted. They rioted. Yeah. No, what? This is our park. You can't do that. And they tore the thing up. They came in there and vandals just destroyed the work in progress of this thing. And it's like, yes, we're doing it for the people. People want to feel safe and they want to play some sand volleyball, right?
Right.
And they want to play tetherball or basketball or whatever it is they were putting in there at the time. But it was one of those, these are crazy people. And sometimes because you're passionate about things, folks, that doesn't mean that you're sane, right? It was just like crazy people in Berkeley. And sometimes we should really listen to the protesters because they've got a good point and they can eloquently communicate them and make a case. And other times just like, yeah, that vote doesn't count. Can't go in and just tear up the sod at the new park that's being developed on the people's behalf for the people's enjoyment and say, no, this belongs to us and we want it to be some crappy little pit hole. Right?
Dirt. Rocks. It sounds like they just don't like change, basically.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
It's just an excuse to demonstrate. It's just
same with the fossil fuel people. They just don't like change.
They want to vent their anger. Anger and indignation. So I have my own little viral moment. I'm going to launch something viral. I was thinking about this. We're kind of coming up on Thanksgiving week. And how much I've been trying to focus with each day, starting with a little gratitude, a little bit perspective of gratefulness and not what's not in my life, what's not going well in the country or anything is that just let's be grateful for.
Okay.
Right? And this is a great week to do that. I call it thanks, not cranks.
Thanks,
not cranks.
Okay.
Don't be in a cranky mood. Don't be an old crank.
Okay.
Give thanks, not cranks. For the whole week, folks, I'm going to challenge you to not post anything on social media where you're bitching and moaning. Can I say bitching and moaning on a KYKN?
Absolutely.
So thanks, not cranks, for the week of Thanksgiving. If you post on social media, it's got to be something good. Something you love, something you're thankful for, something that makes you smile. But try to go a whole week without being indignant and angry about everything or anything. So I believe we look at the ills of our society, and I think that America is addicted to our anger and our indignation. So it's coming from the right and the left.
Yeah. Do wow reactions count as negative?
No, wow could be, hey, that's great.
Okay. Because I do a lot of wow responses to things that are just absolutely crazy.
Uh-huh.
Well, or I can't believe it happened.
All right. Thanks, not cranks, folks. I'm going to post it on Facebook later today, and hopefully it'll
catch
some fire.
Oh, I got to share that.
Right?
I'll share it on the KYKN Facebook, too.
Here's the Thanksgiving. I was thinking about this in the car today. Thanksgiving advice for mixed families, because I've got my brother
coming.
You
better hurry. You got 20 seconds.
Yep. So if you'd all agree that Antifa are not liberals and anti-Semite white supremacists are not conservatives, maybe your mixed families of politics can at least get along on Thanksgiving.
Oh, nice.
Right?
Okay.
We can agree. Let's agree that those are not healthy. All right, folks. It's been a great hour. Let's do it again on Monday. I hope you have a great weekend, and be sure to go to Volcanoes and see how you can help. This is Brent DeHart for Dave Morn. Have a great weekend.
See you on Monday.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.